are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. This episode is brought to you by the Locked On MLB Prospects Podcast. It's MLB draft season and MLB trade season, and the Locked On MLB Prospects Podcast is covering every future star of Major League Baseball. Your host, Aaron Layton, brings you player interviews and farm system breakdowns every single day. So make sure to subscribe to the Locked On MLB Prospects Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast from. In today's episode, we are obviously going to break down the series win for the Angels and talk about everything that transpired over the weekend, taking three of four games, the near no-hitter from Patrick Sandoval, getting themselves back to 500. We're also going to spend some serious time talking about the disturbing reports coming out about the Angels organization and their treatment of minor league baseball players. But before we get into the episode, as usual, if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at BMags94. You can find the podcast at Locked On Angels. You can find my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Monday. Hope you are doing well and enjoyed some successful Angels baseball over the weekend at the major league level. It's definitely nice to see the club rebound from a very tough stretch. And one of those games, the first one we will talk about, was definitely a tough one. So to win back-to-back games on the weekend was definitely nice to see. And as you've probably noticed by now, fixed the microphone issue. So I do apologize again for how last week ended. I'm going to try to make sure that does not happen anymore. But yeah, we've got a lot to get into for this episode. Before we even get into talking about what the Angels did at the major league level over the weekend, I decided that I'm putting the reports about Angels minor league players at the front of this episode because I view this as something that is extremely important. It's disturbing to hear some of the details that came out. And to be honest with you, it's something that means a lot to me as somebody that has kind of been around minor league baseball a lot. So I kind of want to talk about this briefly before we get into the episode. So for those that are not aware, there was an initial report that came out last Thursday, and I failed to talk about this in Friday's episode. That is definitely on me. This is from Advocates for Minor League Baseball Players. They are a nonprofit organization trying to bring just better living conditions, better pay for minor league baseball players who, quite frankly, are treated as if they are living at poverty type levels. So there were some statements that came out from some of the minor league players. I'm not going to read all of them, but some of them included, we had a player sleep in his car for a couple of nights last week. One of them was, we have seven guys living in a two bedroom, two in each room, one in the kitchen, two in the living room. And the final one, I think really made you realize how significant this was it's time to realize that taking the stress of finding and paying for housing off of the players is not only the right thing to do, it would actually help players develop mentally. Not having the stress of living like this would be an investment in the quality of players this game produces, end quote. So this was a pretty big report that came out, and these guys have done a lot of good work. There's no reason to believe that what they're bringing forward is not true. These are former minor league baseball players themselves. They definitely have the connections, and they've proven that they have the track record. So everything in here sounded legit, but then we got another big article from ESPN on Friday. This was from June Lee, and this was titled, "Some players say Los Angeles Angels are failing in treatment at minor league level as GM vows to address it." Again, I'm not going to read through all this. This is a lot of some of the same things that we heard in the report from Advocates for Minor League Baseball Players, but there was one specific player, Kieran Lovegrove, who is a pitcher for AA Rocket Trash Pandas, and really just came out, put himself on the record of what is going on, and talked about these living conditions, the lack of pay, all of these different things. There are a couple of quotes in here that I do want to go through. His first one is, quote, "It's gotten to the point now where there are guys who are in serious mental health crisis because of how stressful the money is here. I really do think it affects not only their play on the field, but I think it affects their quality of life overall. We're reaching a point now where this is actually becoming detrimental to the player's overall health, and the owner not addressing it is actively saying they don't care about the health of their players," end quote. And goes on to talk about a couple of other things. Lovegrove talks about the fact that he has to work as a Lyft, an Uber driver, and a warehouse worker for both UPS and Best Buy in the offseason just to make ends meet. And then kind of really starts to go in. And there's a quote in here about Angels owner Artie Moreno where he says, "The living conditions for minor leaguers shows that Angels owner Artie Moreno really doesn't give a shit about the winning side of running a baseball team because of its failure to develop the next generation of baseball players. It's frustrating when you're sitting in the pen and you're hearing guys just harp about how bad the ownership is and how bad the organization is because you don't want guys to be somewhere that they are unhappy." Lovegrove goes on to say, "Is Moreno completely out of touch with the reality of what it's like to be a player? Probably. I don't really see this changing because I don't know that he really does care about the quality of the organization so much as the amount of money it produces," end quote. So a lot came out in these reports, and unsurprisingly, Angels owner Artie Moreno did not return for a comment, which is kind of continuing his track record of the last couple of years, doing some morally immorally reprehensible things and not owning up for his mistakes. So this is kind of where my opinion is going to come in. And I think it's disgraceful. I think this type of behavior is completely unjustifiable. These players are part of a multi-billion dollar organization that has the means to not be paying minor league baseball players poverty wages. When you add up all of the math, the amount of time that they're putting in, they're severely underpaid. And I think we are well past the point where this is deemed okay. It is encouraging to see this movement for just better human rights for these players. They deserve to be able to have fair living conditions and money to survive where they don't have to worry about working five or six different jobs during the offseason. These are guys that, as Lovegrove mentioned, they're part of the next wave of really good of players who could be impacting you at the major league level. So the number one obvious issue is the inhumane treatment of just not paying them basic living wages to survive. But from a developmental standpoint, it makes zero sense to not invest in these guys, ensure that they have housing, enough money to go eat some healthy food, to not have to worry about working multiple jobs in the offseason, and instead work on getting better at baseball. It just seems completely counterproductive to the entire goal of running an organization and having a minor league farm system. I mean, those guys are there because you're trying to groom them to become those next really good players. And for an organization to just blatantly disregard the overall health of their players is just, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I know a lot of Angels fans are counteracting this by saying this is a major league baseball problem. This is happening everywhere. And it's true. This is happening in other organizations as well. That doesn't mean this is okay. And to be honest with you, the Angels could be one of those teams that is at the forefront of trying to change this. And instead, we're hearing about this in a negative light. So it's really disappointing. I'm hoping that some of the public pressure will change Artie Moreno's mind about doing something different and just giving these players basic living wages, but I'm not holding my breath on this, and it's disappointing to see. And the reason why we're talking about this at the beginning of the episode is because I think this is an organizational failure on the part of Artie Moreno and the high-level executives just from a basic human rights perspective. But when you talk about the fact that this is really dumb from a developing good baseball player perspective, that makes it just that much more egregious. So really, really rough spin. This will change at some point in the near future. We're going to take our first break of this episode. When we get back, we're going to break down the three Angels games from over the weekend, starting with the Friday loss in Minnesota, and then talk about the two wins over the weekend. But before we do so, let's talk about Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all of the action at Bet Online. Get all of the latest news, odds, and info for all of your sporting needs. So make sure to head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code Locked On. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. So let's get back into this episode. We started off this week by talking about these disturbing reports of minor league baseball players in the Angel system. So definitely felt like that was the priority for this week. And I felt like the listeners definitely needed to hear that, because I think it's an important thing to consider when we're talking about the Angels organization as a whole. But we are going to talk about what happened over the weekend as well. So Thursday's game, straightforward. The Angels win a pretty easy game Thursday night, their first game in Minnesota. Friday's game was a disaster. The Angels were up 4-0 in this game and ended up losing 5-4. I guess was fortunate enough to not have been watching this entire game. I saw the good part. I saw the first part of this game, and it was basically downhill from there. So the Angels put up some early runs in this game. All four of their runs came in the first two innings. A two-run home run by Kurt Suzuki made it a 3-0 lead in the first inning. Jack Mayfield homered to make it a 4-0 lead. The Angels are looking pretty good. They allowed a run in the third inning, a run in the fifth inning, a run in the sixth inning. They're only up by one, but they still have the lead going into the eighth inning. And this is where the disastrous play happened. And if you haven't seen this play, you probably want to go check it out, because it is, there's a lot happening. Multiple runners on base, base hit to left field. One of the runs is going to score. So that guy scores, ties up the game, but Kurt Suzuki at home plate tries to throw to third base to get to the runner that was going to third base, airmails it into left field. That runner comes home to score. All of a sudden, the Angels are losing. It was a disastrous play and was kind of all the recipes that we have seen for some Angels losses this year. The bad bullpen, bad defense. And what's kind of ironic, I guess, about it was on Friday's episode, when we talked about Thursday's game, the big reason why they probably won that game was good pitching and good defense. That was kind of what lost the game for them on Friday night. So this was a very tough one for the Angels. If you look at the like win probability charts, it's almost hilarious if it wasn't so depressing to look at. The Angels were basically going to win this game throughout the entirety of the game. And then all of a sudden that eighth inning comes around and their win probability just plummets down. So really tough one. Definitely a game the Angels should have won. But fortunately, they were able to change their fortunes very quickly on Saturday's game, which was one of the most exciting games of the season, because Patrick Sandoval nearly threw a no-hitter in Minnesota. This was an absolutely brilliant performance from him. He goes 8 1/3 innings before allowing his first hit. Brent Rooker hits a little 80-mile-per-hour ball right down the line and ends up at second base. Sandoval ends up getting pulled with one out to go in this game, holding a 2-0 lead. He should have been in this game to finish it, in my opinion. He was only at 108 pitches, which is a lot, but when you're talking about a guy that had been dominating this game, had a real chance to kind of build some more confidence, that would have been awesome to have seen him finish it off. Raisel Iglesias comes in, immediately allows a double, run comes home to score, but the Angels are ultimately able to hold on to this win. But yeah, this was a phenomenal outing from Patrick Sandoval. 8 2/3 innings, one hit, one run, a career high, 13 strikeouts, and one walk. The guy has been nothing short of fantastic since entering the Angels rotation. I mean, you look to see what he's done since the middle of May. He took over in the Angels rotation on May 17th, and since that time, he is a top 20 starter by, or 25 starter by a lot of important statistics. I mean, he is a top 10 starter in ground ball percentage. He's 20th in strikeout percentage in that time. He's 22nd in wins above replacement. His ERA is 33rd. I mean, everything in the underlying numbers looks really good. I mean, a lot of those numbers that we talk about on this show, the underlying metrics, are kind of backing up the notion that Sandoval is pitching like a legitimately good frontline starting pitcher. His whiff rate is in the 95th percentile. His exit velocity allowed is in the 95th percentile. His expected ERA, 84th percentile. I mean, a lot of really encouraging things going on. I mean, this is a huge development for the Angels. We have talked so much about the lack of pitching really just debilitating the Angels' ability to really make a run. Right now, they're putting out a pretty competitive rotation between what Sandoval is doing, what Shohei Ohtani is doing, Alex Cobb, Jose Suarez. There are some interesting things going on, and it's definitely becoming a little bit more interesting down this stretch run, because the rotation is seemingly giving them some productive outings, and that is going to be a big help once you start getting some guys back. So really, really big performance from Patrick Sandoval on Saturday. In terms of what the offense did, only Shohei Ohtani had multiple hits, two doubles, big game for him. He was really struggling to get things going. Both him and Jared Walsh had the day off on Friday. I forgot to mention that. So I think that was much needed in the case of Shohei Ohtani. And Sunday's game, the Angels finish off the series win. They win 6-2, move their record back to 49-49. It just feels like the Angels are constantly hovering around that 500 mark, but really, really big win from the Angels. And what's interesting about this game is it was kind of the opposite of Friday's game from the perspective of the Angels went down 2-0 very early on. And I mean, really early on. The first two batters of the game homered against Jaime Barria. And then from that point forward, Barria did not allow a single run, and the Angels offense really, really showed up in this game. Max Stassi homered, tripled, singled, all of those events brought home runs. Max Stassi is at a 902 OPS this season. Absolutely one of the best hitting catchers in baseball this season. Shohei Ohtani, two hits, including a home run, 414 feet for his 35th home run. That gave the Angels the lead for good. He also took a walk. He stole his 13th bag, which is a career high for him. So a really, really big game from Ohtani. Some other guys produced in this game as well. Brandon Marsh had an RBI double in the ninth inning as well as a walk. So just a really strong performance all the way around from the Angels in this game, and just finished off this series on a positive note. And again, right now, the Angels are exactly at 500. They're 5.5 games behind the Oakland A's for a playoff spot. We've got the trade deadline coming really, really soon. I mean, that thing is 4 days away from now on July 30th. So, I mean, it's coming really, really quick. So things are going to kind of start to shape up in the next week or so. We're going to kind of really get an idea of what the Angels are going to do and how they view the team for the rest of the year. So before we kind of like finish up for today's episode. There were two other things I wanted to pass along. First and foremost, a Mike Trout update, and not exactly the most encouraging one. This was from Jeff Fletcher before the game. Madden said, Trout is still feeling something in his calf. He's scheduled for a regular appointment with the doctor on Monday, so they'll have more of a timeline after that. There's something that he feels. It's not awful, but they're waiting to hear from the doctor. So we're, I believe, 10 weeks since the injury. This was supposed to be a 6 to 8 week thing. It's pretty obvious that maybe that timeline was not entirely accurate, which, as we talked about last week, has been a problem for the Angels, kind of being accurate or honest about their injury projections. Goes without saying, getting Mike Trout back as soon as possible is going to significantly improve the Angels' chances of making the playoffs. So you'd like to see him soon, but it doesn't appear that we're moving that much closer to a rehab assignment for now. So hopefully that changes in the coming days. And last thing, we talked about Reed Detmers and Chris Rodriguez getting promoted to AAA. Reed Detmers was absolutely fantastic in his first outing with the Bees. This was actually coinciding with Patrick Sandoval's near no-hitter on Saturday, so it might have gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit, but 9 strikeouts, no runs allowed in his first outing, and that's at AAA in the PCL. I mean, we're talking about the elevated Salt Lake City where balls tend to fly out of the stadium, so this was a huge, huge start for Detmers and for his development. And the numbers this year are just absolutely insane. In 60 innings this year, a 3.15 ERA, 106 strikeouts, 18 walks. This is utterly dominant stuff. And I've been talking with people the last few days, and I think I finally came to the belief that Detmers is like the best pitching prospect the Angels have had in, I don't know, I mean, it's been a long time since they've had someone like this, and he continues to rise up in the prospect rankings, and I don't know. I think we're going to see this guy a lot sooner than we originally expected when he was drafted. I think it's very, very possible that he's making his MLB debut in the next couple of weeks, and that's just going to add to the Angels rotation that has been really improving as the season has gone along. So we're going to take our final break of this episode, but let me first tell you about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has many delicious flavors that covers something for everyone? Whether you're looking for something fruity like raspberry, a traditional flavor like double chocolate, or something a little bit different like salted caramel, Built Bar has you covered. And most importantly, Built Bar is healthy too. All bars are high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar, and low in net carbs. If you go to built.com right now and use the promo code locked on, you'll get 15% off your order. Again, that's promo code locked on for 15% off at built.com. So let's wrap up today's episode. A lot to digest from this one, and I felt like we needed to start it on talking about what came out last Thursday, last Friday about the minor leaguers, because I do think this is an important thing that, again, we're starting to talk about this more often, but it's got to take more importance. We've got to talk about this a lot more because I think oftentimes we only think about what happens at the major league level, but when we're talking about the type of treatment that minor league players are going through in the Angels organization and in other organizations, we have got to change that, and hopefully soon. So we have that going on. Obviously, the Angels had a very good weekend, taking 3 of 4 games from the Minnesota Twins. So we'll see what happens. Monday, back to Angel Stadium against the Rockies, one of the worst teams in baseball. Shohei Ohtani on the mound. Should be a lot of fun. Big week for the Angels because they've got a chance to beat a really bad Rockies team. The A's are coming to town. That's the same team they're trying to chase right now in the wild card race. And then we've got the trade deadline at the end of this week. So a lot of different things going on, but I believe that's all I've got for today's episode. So as always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there. We will talk some Angels baseball on Tuesday. This episode was brought to you by Locked On Bets. Betting on Locked On